I'm coming in hot again, like I did last week. I don't think this episode was a side quest episode. How about that?
Every word in that sentence you just said was wrong.
Everyone to Krypton to Alderaan. I am Joey, your Star Wars lover. And with me is Royish Goodlooks.
Hello, podcast. Hello, Joey.
Hello, and we're the podcast that analyzes nerdy pop culture stuff, but it's mostly Star Wars. And this episode, it'll be Star Wars. To be more precise, Star Wars The Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 8, Bad Territory. But first, hey, we are so close to 500 subs. It is incredible. And we got so many subs after the last episode, and that episode is doing pretty well. So we really appreciate everyone who's been tuning in, who's just now tuning in. And listen, we only need to get to 500. So if in a month you don't want to subscribe anymore, you can unsubscribe. Just get us over the 500 subscriber mark. Is that a good way to pitch this?
Perfect. Perfect. Is now a bad time to tell you that I just watched last week's episode 1600 times in a row?
I don't think that that's the way the algorithm. I don't know much about the algorithm, but I'm pretty sure if one person watches it a bunch, it doesn't count as extra views.
I could have saved a lot of time.
Yeah. Anyway, hit subscribe. Punch it. Royce, I have a bone to pick with you. Or maybe you have a bone to pick with me. I'm coming in hot again, like I did last week. I don't think this episode was a side quest episode. How about that? How about that? It's the opposite of what I said about last week's two episodes. Come at me if you think I'm wrong. But I think that this episode was A, great. B, furthered the plot very well. C, was full of beautiful moments, both emotionally and aesthetically. And D, am I up to D? I lost count. Was not a side quest episode. How do you feel about that?
Every word in that sentence you just said was wrong. No, it's just interesting that you flip to the other side of the coin. It just seems like you've got your like polarity reversed on how you should be grading side quests versus not side quests.
That's how you get clicks, man. That's how you get clicks and views.
But I said this on our episode last week that I'm trying, like, there is no such thing as a side quest.
Agreed.
Right? And this is a hard pill to swallow when your episode includes a heist, a monster of the week, a villain of a bounty of the week, and a few breadcrumbs of what is to come. This was also a rare A plot, B plot episode, which is often the case. I've admitted on this podcast, I don't know how to write television, but I do know that there is a trope that you only do an A and a B plot when maybe your A plot isn't as strong as it could be. So we kind of intersplice going to Pabu, going to whatever, like Tabana gas mine planet and searching for this other bounty guy. We had two different plots going on, which is kind of cool. We don't often get that in Bad Batch. We're usually following like one crew on one mission, not intersplicing things. So I think in some respects that alleviates the side questy nature, but I thought it was a lot of fun, the adventure that we did go on. I think I would have enjoyed getting a few more. Like I said, there's breadcrumbs left for us. We don't know who Fennec's contact is. They didn't learn anything about M counts. It was just a romp with some extra scenes with Omega and Crosshair. And we can dive into all of that on the rest of the episode. But overall, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm 100% on board with you. Everything, most of the things you just said. I had a lot of fun this episode. It's what we talked about before this season started. We were kind of asking the question, are we going to get to have fun this season?
Yeah.
Like, it's the final season. There's lots of juicy, meaty steaks out there. And we have to wrap up a lot of stuff. We asked the question, are we going to have any fun? This episode, I thought, was very fun while also being like very emotional and heartwarming in that B plot, in those B plot moments, which we will get into. I also really, we knew this was coming from the trailer. I enjoyed getting to see Fennec Shand. Ming-Na Wen does a great job in both voice acting the character and like live action acting the character. Something I really appreciate about this character and characters like this is that the voice actor just remains so calm. There was one moment where they were like fighting the alligators where she was kind of yelling, which I also really liked. Like, it was cool seeing her get like worked up about stuff. But when they're like at the cantina or whatever that is on that cool looking spaceport, she's just very like cool, calm, collected boss woman, boss bounty hunter. I was kind of soothed by her presence and the voice acting, which is weird because it was like not a soothing environment at all. And she's not really maybe supposed to be that soothing of a character, but I did like getting to see her again. I was excited to have more of that character. I think it fit in pretty well and it made sense for them to go back to her. I really dug that like Omega was the one who was like, well, what about Fennec? And I also really like that like multiple times this episode, Crosshair was like, who? You've been out of the loop, dude. So that was cool to see. But let me know how you feel about this. But it's also, imagine if one time I said, don't let me know how you feel about
this. I'm just going to throw something out there and I don't want to hear anything.
Do not respond. She seems like such a different, I mean, characters grow and develop and stuff, but she seems like such a different character here than she does in like the Book of Boba Fett when we really pick back up with her, which I also like appreciate the character journey and maybe we'll see that journey, but it just feels so, she feels just so different to me here than she does in Book of Boba Fett.
They're portraying her as this boss lady and she's commanding the presence there. She's telling the Greedo character like, get out of here, no more deal. And she's running the whole show and she's bossing around Wrecker and Hunter and they have a lot of playful back and forth, but yeah, this is Fennec's show. You're working for me. You're not working with me.
I love
for
that.
Me.
Yeah.
When she puts her cup down, when she's done drinking and she's like, I'm keeping all of the money. And she finishes her drink for that. I love those moments there. Like, she's in charge. I was trying to connect this to Book of Boba Fett, but I've seen that show like two times through. And the second time through was like Kai Patterson's re-edit of it. So I haven't given Boba Fett enough time, really. But there's a character development there that I think we have to spend more time with because I don't totally connect them. There was some interesting moments where Fennec says like, I'm all about the money, baby. And Hunter's like, well, we're not all about the money. And she says, well, that's because you don't have any. And Hunter and Wrecker, like they have a family, right? And then in Book of Boba Fett, like that whole show was like Boba Fett wanting his tribe back to develop a family. But Fennec was, I think in that series still kind of obsessed with like, we're rich and powerful. We can do whatever we want. Yeah, there's more time to spend with her. I don't know how I feel about Fennec yet. I was literally going to ask you, like, do we even like Fennec?
I really like Fennec. I also think there's some ties here. There's some parallels with DJ from The Last Jedi, right? They have a very similar line at some point where Fennec says, or Wrecker says, I guess you work for anyone as long as you get paid. And Fennec says, good guys, bad guys, the money's all the same, which is almost verbatim what DJ says to Finn in The Last Jedi, which at that moment in The Last Jedi, DJ is betraying Finn to the First Order. So he's painted as kind of a villain. But I really like this. Part of the politics of Star Wars for me is like the entitlement of people who are at war, thinking that everyone needs fighting for everyone else to be on their side. And I think that's a little bit of what's happening here. So something that makes me appreciate characters like Fennec is that her motivation is making a living. She's a bounty hunter. Maybe it's not the most good guy thing you could be doing, but like in this galaxy, being a Jedi might be the most good guy thing you can be doing, but the Jedi weren't always good guys, right? So her only motivation is to like make a living, and good guys, bad guys, quote unquote, good guys, bad guys, it doesn't matter. I'm going to make money so that I can continue to survive in this galaxy. And there's something so freeing. She's not tied to the clone rebellion. She's not tied to the not clone rebellion. She's not tied to the Empire. She's just an independent contractor or whatever out there in the galaxy just trying to survive. And I really like characters like that, who are like, obviously, I'm not going to join your war. It was one of the most intriguing things about Luke Skywalker in The Last Jedi to me when he was like, I ran away. I just want to be left alone out here. And like the entitlement of Rey and the rest of like the rebellion to be like, we need to go get Luke Skywalker, who doesn't want to be any part of this. Like, what do you expect me to stand up to the First Order with a laser sword? It's like, yeah, what do you expect that from him? Like, why are you? So anyway, I love when characters don't have an allegiance to either side that we're seeing here. And the way that that kind of ruffles the feathers of the characters who do have an allegiance to this side. Like, there are just normal people out there in the galaxy just trying to make a living.
Well, Wrecker and Hunter need Fennec in this, and they have that sort of like hey, why are you working with me? You know, you're hiding something and you're not revealing everything. And I think Fennec kind of sorts all that out by the end of the episode, that she's going to sell out Hunter and Wrecker and be like, there's these clones. You can track these clones down. We don't know who she's talking to, of course, but she clearly was like, I got paid from this bounty. I used Wrecker and Hunter for that. Who cares about what they actually need? I got my work done. And I can further sell them out for another payday from this mystery hologram. So that is interesting. I was still hoping that, you know, she even says to them, why are you trusting me? Last time they were together, like, they were at odds. So it doesn't make sense that they would be together. And I was still kind of hoping that Fennec saying the line about, I only care about money, that that would then be like a, oh no, I'm going to give up the money and save these people for the good of the galaxy, or because it's the right thing to do. But that's inherently not a bounty hunter's character, unless you fall into a Sarlacc pit and get adopted by the local Tusken Raider tribe.
Which only happens a very specific amount of times. The TLDR there is that I like Fennec.
But how do you feel about this betrayal at the end? Are you just
I don't know if it... That's a good point, because I don't know if it was a betrayal. We don't really know.
It seems like you're still just believing in the ambiguity that she's not really a bad guy. She's not really a good guy. She's in it for herself. But that maybe that scene isn't foreshadowing the worst outcome, that we'll meet a new character from that, whoever it is. Unless it just happens to be Hemlock, in which case they could have just shown him. Why would you hide that?
We know that Hemlock is after Omega. We know that Hemlock said, you know, use every available asset to find her, which in the past has meant bounty hunters. That's the same language that they've used in this show in the past to talk about bounty hunters. That was Fee's point in the beginning of this episode, right? There are class one bounty hunters bringing in M-Count people to the Empire. We know what the M-Count is. No one else has an idea what the M-Count is. Why wouldn't they have just shown Hemlock? We know that Ventress is in it, so why wouldn't they have just shown Ventress? They've already, like, kind of spoiled that. Unless it's someone like Boba Fett, which I would really enjoy seeing. I mean, choo-choo speculation station. But it would be really cool, I think, to see Boba Fett and have Boba Fett, at least to some degree, interact with Omega, since they're basically twins, right? He's the Alpha and she's the Omega. So I'm kind of hoping that's who it is, and that Ventress is the one, like, maybe out there protecting people with M counts from getting abducted by the Empire.
Maybe Boba also has an M count and is hiding and is aware of what's going on. Yeah, this is super speculatory, but...
Super speculatory, but by the end of the Clone Wars, Boba Fett was a bounty hunter already. So he could be just like, he could be one of the priority one, whatever Fee calls it, like priority one bounty hunters that are doing this work for the Empire. He also hates Jedi. Right. It's kind of all adding up to where Boba Fett might be one of these bounty hunters doing this, because, like, a Jedi cut his dad's head off. So I don't mean to laugh. It's very sad. But there's kind of lines of evidence that suggest that it might be Boba Fett.
Or no matter who that hologram was supposed to be, this being the final season of the Bad Batch, it would still be cool to have Omega and Boba Fett run into each other somehow, cross paths, you know, learn of each other, have a conversation. Because who knows if we're going to see Omega again after the Bad Batch. You know, if she pops up in something else or not, you know, who knows? So if this is one of few opportunities for those characters to meet on screen, I'd like to see that. Don't make me read a book.
Oh,
put that on screen.
Come on, read the book. Nah, she'll show up in Book of Boba Fett 2, which is, like, worse than reading a book. Having to watch Book of Boba Fett is kind of, like, worse. That's my maybe tepid take on the Book of Boba Fett at this point.
Shots fired.
Sorry. Either way, I'm excited at the prospect of, like, what happens next. I kind of really wish, I don't even know what this is, if it's, like, entitlement or something else on my behalf, but I just really wish that this one was the two-parter. Like, we leave off on such a kind of cliffhanger at the end of this episode, and they've already spoiled Ventress. So if, like, we know the path that the Bad Batch are on now with, like, finding bounty hunters that are tracking down the M-Count, whatever M-Count havers in the galaxy. So I'm pretty sure, and I think next week's episode is called, like, Harbinger or Harpy or something, which is going to be Ventress. And I really just wish that this was a two-part episode so that we could just kind of jump right into that and then have something surprising that they haven't spoiled in the trailer at the end of next episode. We also know from the trailer that Cad Bane is coming back. So he is probably one of the bounty hunters that's out there looking for M-Count havers as well.
We're going to have a good old bounty hunter reunion.
Yeah.
Bounty hunting is a dangerous profession.
Yeah, maybe we'll get little Din Djarin in there somewhere.
Little Werner Herzog.
Yeah. Anyway, I really did have fun this episode. I really loved the heistiness. This is why, like, okay, my argument for it not being a side quest is that it did further the plot. As much as I love the episode last season with the Zillow Beast, I don't remember if that actually furthered the plot of the season. So I wouldn't call that side questy because I love that episode, but this definitely like continued to further the plot in both A and B plots.
Yeah. I appreciate your outlook. You're being really generous. Like, it didn't go as far as the two-parter, in my opinion. I don't want to fight you any further, you know, because you're my brother.
Because I have
Joey.
The high ground.
Yeah. But I love the two-parter with the clones and the assassins. I thought that was a little bit more juicy than this particular episode, but I will take this was like a nice mid-season, like, I don't want to use this term disparagingly, but like mid-season lull where the stakes in this episode were not as high as almost every other episode so far, which that was also a nice relief, right? All the stuff on Pabu, safe atmosphere, lovely scenery. We are really dark and brooding on the bounty hunter quest, but that also wasn't super high stakes. I wasn't worried about like someone dying in that episode or someone being captured, right? It was just a fun adventure.
You know, I also really love the juxtaposition between the two plots. It being dark and brooding with Hunter and Wrecker and Fennec, and it being light and beautiful and non-violent on Pabu with Crosshair and Omega, which it's like Crosshair has kind of been the catalyst for violence throughout the first two seasons. So I really, really liked that. We've kind of talked about this season with it being like super dark episodes and then like one or two episodes in the sun. And this episode was both, but it framed the two plots so well, I think. And it might also be foreshadowing, like you weren't worried about anybody dying. Fennec does say like, don't die on me before the mission's over.
She also says everyone's luck eventually runs out.
Exactly, exactly. And to have like Hunter and Wrecker be on this like orange, dark, violent mission where they might not come back with Fennec, and to have Crosshair and Omega on Pabu safe and sound. I don't want to lose any of these characters, but it feels like it's foreshadowing some stuff.
Yeah, so what did you think about trying to heal Crosshair's hand? So we got, is that CZ is the droid, right?
AZ.
AZ is the medical droid and is somehow scanning Crosshair's hand. And he's like, oh, there's nothing actually wrong with it. It's all in your head.
So I really liked, so if anyone has watched my speculation video on this Crosshair being a clone of the real Crosshair, to be clear, I really don't want that to be the case. I mean, the bottom line is that this tremor has got me feeling like something's wrong with him. And he even says, you know, it's not in my head. Maybe it is psychosomatic. I really love that they're treating this like a psychosomatic thing. We have no idea what he went through on Tantus. We've seen scenes of him on an exam table getting injected with some stuff. And then, you know, obviously him going into that re-education facility. So they both have like physically and maybe mentally traumatized Crosshair in some way on Tantus. So we're seeing the fallout from that, and I hope that that's what this tremor is, and it's not actually that he's a clone of the original Crosshair. Having AZ say that, and then Crosshair's reaction, immediate knee-jerk reaction, is just like getting up and being like, forget it, and pushing the droid out of the way. And of course, Batcher goes to run after him, because Batcher is Crosshair's dog and emotional support dog. And I really, really love Crosshair. And I really love that they are making this animated character so human. They're really just continuing to humanize him. And there's something so approachable. There's something we can all empathize with about this character going through this stuff and not wanting to admit that it's in their head, not wanting to admit that anything's wrong, not talk about what happened to them. There's so much of that there that's very real. And it just makes this character so human. I just really love what they're doing with Crosshair.
Yeah, and it ties in perfectly with the Outpost episode where he's trying to sort of like inform Hunter of what's going on. But we had talked on the show here about he just doesn't communicate well verbally because he's a sniper. He's just built to be a Terminator, not to talk about his feelings. And so when he's getting evaluated by AZ, And AZ is like, it's not a physical thing. This is something that you might have to talk about. You know, he immediately just rejects that. We don't talk about our feelings in my family. And yeah, that's kind of a relatable thing. You know, he's a soldier. He's just going to internalize it. I'm not here to talk about my feelings. I'm supposed to be a stone cold killer. But again, you mentioned juxtaposition with this A and this B plot. Crosshair and Omega, it's the perfect juxtaposition. She loves talking about her feelings. We should do the right thing because that makes me feel good inside. We should make these people feel good about themselves. Let's spread some hope and love throughout the galaxy. And Omega tells Crosshair, like, you don't like anything. And he says, true. Like, yeah. He even admits that he is this curmudgeon, you know, that he's like,
I love that so much.
I am hopeless, you know? Yeah. So I'm interested to see if they further crack that ice because Omega's there trying to cheer him up. Like, maybe you weren't 100% accurate today on the shooting range, but like, you're still a pretty good shot, you know? And of course, Crosshair's beating himself up. Like, well, that's not good enough for Sniper. But Omega is still there like, no, like, that's good enough, you know? You don't have to be perfect, you know? Like, we're all defective clones, right? But that's okay. And I think we're still going to see more of this, like, therapy nature from him, which, again, I think is kind of a newer thing in the Star Wars realm. There's not a lot of, like, healthy expression of emotions. It's normally, like, I am tortured and I'm going to commit crimes against humanity because of my tortured nature.
Or my aunt and uncle were just burned to death and I guess I'm just going to get on the next ship and fly off this planet. Like,
I think this is very fitting for the times that we're living in. Like, it's interesting. He's been through a lot and we're acknowledging that he needs to talk about it. It's uncomfortable for him, but it's important, obviously.
I really, really love that. This kind of meta idea that Crosshair is the old Star Wars and Omega is the new Star Wars. And we're transitioning into this, like, it's okay. We're maturing into this, it's okay to have emotions and feelings and talk about emotions and feelings. I really love that.
It's okay if Star Wars doesn't have 100% accuracy rate. It's still better than most.
Yeah, that's true too. But we're getting like more healthy conversations within pop culture, which is something that I advocate for a lot, the responsibility of pop culture to like normalize this more healthy stuff. And also like maybe making Star Wars more mature in that way. I love that take. I also really love what you said. We're all defective clones and that's okay. I would buy a Bad Batch poster that said that on it. Maybe I'll make one. Yeah. When they're down at the beach having that conversation, she like hops up on the rock and says like, maybe AZ is right. Maybe it's just based on what they did to you. And I have an idea on how to fix it. He says, I'm not going to like it, am I? And she goes, you don't like anything. And as soon as he says true, and then Batcher like nuzzles up against him as soon as he says true, they are perfect. Those three characters are the most perfect characters in all of Star Wars. I will hear nothing else.
I'm so glad they got some more time together in this episode. And he cracks a little bit of a smile there as he's looking at the puppy.
Yep. And then they do, first of all, the scene where they're meditating, where she's teaching him how to meditate up on the overlook is beautiful. This scene is one of the most beautiful scenes in maybe Star Wars I've ever seen, where they pull back and we're behind Crosshair and Omega and we see like the sunset and the ocean and Pabu. It looks so good. There's a lot to unpack there. There's a lot of stuff going on. She's teaching him how to meditate. They have that really delicate, very human, lovely moment where she like turns over his hand and opens his palm. It's just a beautiful moment. I think we also get a little bit of, yes, Crosshair went through stuff on Tantus. Hemlock put him through some traumatizing stuff. But part of what is going on here is also Crosshair's regret for the way he's treated his brothers and his sister and the things he's missed out on. He says, where did you learn to do this? And she says, from my friend Gunji. And by the way, if Gunji gets captured in this M count search thing, I'll break my TV. She says, I learned it from Gunji, my friend Gunji and the other Wookiees on Kashyyyk. And he says, you went to Kashyyyk? And Dee Bradley Baker, wonderful, wonderful on delivering those lines. And she says, yeah, you missed a lot. And he goes, I know. And so in that moment, I thought, yes, he has been traumatized by what happened to him on Tantus, but also he regrets missing out on this stuff. Now he's developing this relationship with his older sister. Really, he regrets, I think part of his psychosomatic illness or injury is the regret of missing out on this stuff and the way he's treated them over the past couple of years.
Yeah, I love that too. That he's like, man, I was busy being a sniper for the Empire and I could have been like going on adventures with you guys and like maybe still being a like if he's fulfilled by being a sniper, like he could have still been doing that job with the Bad Batch for the good of the galaxy. And yeah, seeing that now, it's interesting. Did you catch the parallels with this meditation scene with your favorite Star Wars series of all time, Ahsoka, with Jason's, I was going to say Jason Solo, Jason and Hera?
I did not, but I really like that parallel where they're out on that platform and he's trying to get her to hear the battle.
He's like, listen, mom, you don't hear it? Like that's, I was getting kind of some parallels with that where Omega's tapping into the meditation and Crosshair's like, this is dumb. And she's like, no, no, just like sit here, center yourself. So I thought that was cool.
I do really love that parallel. And I love kind of the other poetry moments we've gotten in this episode, like we've talked about with The Last Jedi and stuff. What I also think is super important is that at this point, Crosshair is not, he's not trying to get away from this. He like stormed off when AZ said, you know, maybe when AZ implied that it might be in his head. He stormed off. By the end of the episode, he's sitting there with Omega. He's not, he's really not like, this is stupid. He's like accepting because of her leadership. Again, we talked a few episodes ago about how I believe that he believes she is the leader. She is the superior officer. And because she's guiding him through this, he's not like getting up and storming away. He's not like, this is dumb. This isn't going to work, which is also very tropey and very Star Wars-y. Like, oh, I don't have time for this. I don't have time to learn. I just need to go save my friends, right? Like, that's usually what it is. But he's like, oh, this, yeah, well, she says this will work and I trust her. And when they're on the rock down by the ocean, we get Omega's theme infecting. We have said, like, Omega is infecting Crosshair. She is infecting the galaxy with good. And at that moment, her theme creeps in from the sides. And after that, he's 100% on board with everything that happens next. This is a beautiful show, everyone. This show is incredible.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. He wasn't fighting it like, oh, this is dumb. I'm not into this. But I should restate. I think he was just kind of more like, this is uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
But you're walking me through it, you know? So, speculation station.
Choo-choo.
She's got the M count.
Yeah.
She mentioned Gunji. I learned this technique from my Jedi friend. Let's try it. Like, we haven't. I'm really surprised. I think we brought this up maybe once in the past. Hey, maybe Omega's force sensitive. Who knows? Like before we had any confirmation that she has an M count. I haven't listened to a ton of podcasts reviewing The Bad Batch. I've been watching Star Wars Explained to listen to one or two Thank the Makers. But I don't know if this is a theory that's floating around. Like she's meditating, you know, just like Jason and Hera. Like is Hera tapping into the force there? Like we were kind of, maybe she is. So is Omega going to be doing that? Is Crosshair going to tap into the force and heal his hand? You know, who knows? You have thoughts on that?
Well, it was a very prominent theory and a very prominent conversation throughout the first season and a little bit into the second season, right? In the first season, she picks up in one of the first episodes, she picks up a blaster and like nails it. Like she shoots one of the stormtroopers right away, you know? So there was a lot of like, is she, does she? And we see in this season that she has the genetic marker that allows for a successful transfer of the M count without degradation. I pushed my glasses up as I said that. But I don't think that means she necessarily has an M count itself. I would not, you know, it's not going to impact my relationship with the show either way. What I love about Ahsoka, what I love that Ahsoka, the show, did was say, like, anyone. We're all the Force, right? Anyone can tap into this. Sabine did a little bit of Darksaber training in Rebels. With trying enough and believing, she can tap into the Force because it's around us, it binds us, it flows through us, all that stuff. So after that, kind of redefining what that could look like, I would be on board with this happening, you know, with Omega or anybody else. I also just love those teachings of the Jedi, the positive ones, going out and helping other people in the galaxy. There's so much about the prequel Jedi that wasn't good. But she is using this teaching that she got from Gunji, who was a youngling during the prequel era. She's using this teaching to better herself and to heal. And in that moment, when they're up on that ridge meditating, there's no music, there's no other sounds. It's extremely peaceful. I would go to bed tonight and listen to Omega guided meditation as I fell asleep with like Pabu and waves in the background and stuff. I love that she's taking these teachings and using them to heal and using them for good. And she's like passing them on to other people who aren't Jedi in the galaxy. I don't know how to speculate on that. I feel like they've really been setting us up to think that she has like an M count and can wield the Force, but we haven't seen it yet. And I would be fine with it going either way, honestly. As long as they make it out alive and live happily ever after on that damn island. Like, I've talked ad nauseum about how beautiful that moment was. Unfortunately, it's immediately like smash cut to Fennec back on her ship, either selling them out or not selling them out. Either way, it's very ominous. It rips us away from this beautiful moment on Pabu to put us back in that ship with Fennec. Ominous music, ominous tone. We don't know which direction it's going. And so that felt very icky to me. I didn't like it.
I'm just realizing now, Joey, that yes, we've already stated on average a lot of times the Bad Batch episodes end on these downer moments, these uh-oh endings, even though this might be a little ambiguous. But man, we couldn't have ended with Crosshair and Omega meditating. We obviously left it on a sort of cliffhanger-y like mystery that helps you come back next week. But who is watching the Bad Batch that's like, oh, you know what? I'm good. I don't know if there's a lot of Bad Batch people that are wishy-washy as to whether they're in or not. Maybe there's some people that, if sure. I get one more Monster of the Week, I'm out. But man, I would have loved to just fade out on that sunset. Like, why can't we end on the happy ending? Maybe we're just saving that for the end of the season. Maybe that's just not how we format any of the Bad Batch episodes, that this goes against the style guide to end happy. But I'm with you. I would love for a happy ending, but why can't we have it now?
No, this is exactly what we said in that other, when we coined the phrase, uh-oh endings, right? Like Kiner again, like rips us out of the peaceful serenity of Pabu and meditation to give us the ominous background music going on when we're hearing Fennec talk to whoever she's talking to. And it just wasn't nice. It just was not a nice moment.
We'd still have the mystery, even if we didn't return for that last scene. Yeah. We still need to hear from Fennec. So we don't even need to see Fennec again. We just need to see this mystery person, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll find out next week.
Next time I watch, I'll just stop right there.
Stop it. Stop it one scene early.
Exactly.
All right, listeners, let's keep this conversation going. We would love to hear what you thought about this episode of The Bad Batch and our podcast here. Leave your comments if you're listening here on YouTube and make sure to hit subscribe. Help us get to this 500 subscriber mark. Maybe we've already hit it by now. If so, help us get even further. And make sure to tune in next week for more nerdy pop culture, but mostly Star Wars. We'd love to have you back. Thank you for listening to the show today. I've been Royce.
I've been Crosshair.
And we've been Krypton to Alderaan.
You know what? We're all just defective clones, and that's okay.